Hog Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my joyful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hog Sukkot Sameach, which means we hope you are enjoying a joyous Feast of Tabernacles. I understand that even the Arab city of Dubai built a sukkah on top of one of its buildings.
Well, that's your first.
Mm-hmm. Of course, since Jesus lives in our hearts, we experience the season of joy all the time. And why he chose this particular season to be birthed into this world. With that said, our hearts are joyful that our president went back to the White House. But of course, we still pray that he continues to fully beat this China virus. Let's pray.
Abba, Father, we humbly praise you as we beg for complete recovery for President Trump. America needs him, and only you are the real healer. We come against any harmful drugs that might have been administered, and most of all, we take authority over any evil entities that want to harm him. Rather may you, O Lord, drench him with your mayim mayim, living water of life. We covet your Holy Spirit presence tonight. Help us to better focus on things that truly matter. We also lift up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight we will be looking at some other familiar names of tabernacles, which also focusing on the eighth day. And actually, that's the final day of the feast because it actually has a lot of meaning for his church, as you will soon see.
Yeah, you're supposed to be happy. Yes. Any other important news?
Well, the gauntlet is coming down on the Russian hoax thanks to the declassified documents finally released by Director of National Intelligence Ratcliffe, with hopefully more to come. But the CIA Director Gina Haskell is holding it up. Gee, I wonder why. Then again, Hillary is heavily implicated.
Yeah, is it true that Pope Francis refused to meet with our Secretary of State Pompeo while he was in Europe?
Yes, that's very true. Pompeo wanted to discuss the Vatican's union with China since religious freedom is under increasing attacks in China. The Pope said it's just too close to the election. However, the Pope was not happy about Pompeo's recent article chastising the Vatican for signing the China deal, revealing that Catholics were particularly under assault in China.
And they are. So why the buddy-buddy?
Because the Pope is a closet communist, and that says it all. And even though it's during this joyous feast time, Israel remains on lockdown due to COVID. And over here, another hurricane named Delta is headed to our Gulf Coast again as the wildfires continue on the West Coast.
Yeah, and along with many earthquakes.
Yes, and Vice President Pence debates Kamala on Wednesday.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please partner with us by considering a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air, and are always greatly appreciated. And we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And especially helpful if you missed any of these studies, all on the on the fall feast.
So be sure to take advantage of that.
Okay, just a quick review from last week's program.
Well, as outlined in Leviticus 23 and also in Nehemiah 8, during this week, long festival of tabernacles, they would reside in a sukkah or barn-like outbuilding made mostly of branches and leaves, so they could still see through the ceiling at God's creation. Tabernacles, which by the first century was the fullness of time for Jesus' real birth, and is to the Jewish people a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely. And by the way, it was in a sukkah that Jesus was born in.
But as we read last week, there is a more detailed description of this in Nehemiah chapter 8.
Mm-hmm. And we explain the major typological ceremonies during the feast as the waving of the lulav.
A picture of diversity.
Right, where anyone from anywhere can join the family of God. We also looked at another great typology, a ceremony titled the House of the Water Pouring. And it's held on the seventh day of Hoshana Rabbah,
which was led by a priest playing a flute and called the Pierced One.
Mm-hmm. Which then resulted with the living water, called in Hebrew the Mayim Hayim, taken from the pool of Siloam, joining those with the vessel of red wine, which would be poured out upon an altar of sacrifice. Of course, this represents the future sacrifice when Yeshua's side was pierced and Christ's blood and water was poured out upon the cross.
Well, you know, he is our living water.
Mm-hmm. And that concluded our program last week. So tonight, we want to begin with some other names associated with this festival and then finish with the significance of the extra eighth day. That also points to Jesus.
Like everything does. It's all about him.
I know. I couldn't have said that any better. We also mentioned last week that according to Zechariah 14:16, this is the one feast that everyone in the millennial kingdom will still celebrate in Jerusalem. It is also called the Feast of All Nations.
Well, because it's for all peoples.
Yes. Every year in Israel, you will see many nations carrying their own flags. Well, probably not this year because of COVID, but I was there one year during this feast, and it was quite remarkable to see, along with an abundance of various decorative sukkahs.
Well, it's definitely a season of joy.
I know, right? So why wouldn't God pick this time for his son to be born? It is so like him to use such detail.
Well, you know, it's also called the Feast of Dedication.
That's right, because Solomon dedicated his temple during this feast, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 8.
Also, the Greater Feast of Lights.
Yes, and this is really cool, because they would erect 75-foot tall candles using the priest's undergarments for wicks, which were lit every sundown that would light up all Jerusalem, so that or when Jesus yelled out while they were looking up at the lights, and this is recorded in John 8. Do you remember what he said?
I am the light of the world.
That's right. So very fitting to not only have been born on the first day of Tabernacles, but to then later utilize this exact timing to tell the people that he was that light. Everything fits perfectly, like a puzzle. And by connecting the dots, we can know then that 280 days earlier, he was placed in Mary's womb, which just happens to be, wait for it, the eighth day of Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Lights.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, Jesus' number is 8.
Yes, and it represents eternity, never ending. So many details so often missed.
It's also called the Feast of Ingathering.
Because the entire fall harvest would be gathered in as a type of his righteous sheep of Matthew 25. And, like the parable of Matthew 13, when the wheat is separated from the tares, who are then thrown in the lake of fire, Revelation 19:20. And then when he returns with us, that'll happen at the end of the tribulation, and then he'll set up his kingdom on earth.
And will then tabernacle physically with us again.
But this time, as our ruler and king, when we celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, also in that glorious season of joy, as now his wife, Revelation 19:7.
And also in attendance will be the tribulation saints.
And the 144,000 Messianic Jews, and those who were martyred and now returned from waiting under the altar and resurrected immortal bodies.
Revelation 6, 9 and Revelation 20 and verse 4. Okay, let's dive into that very special eighth day.
Well, as we just said, Jesus' number is 8. And we know, as ordered by God in Leviticus 12, that all baby boys must be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. And now we know why. Because the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day after birth.
Mm-hmm. That's because of vitamin K, which just happens to be at its peak on the eighth day, which stops possible hemorrhaging.
Well, today, you know, hospitals give the baby boys a shot of vitamin K.
That's right. So they don't have to stay for 8 days. But still, God gave those detailed instructions thousands of years before and in writing, again, long before they ever knew anything about the importance of clotting.
Well, that's a gold nugget right there.
For sure. So use it when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired. Hello, knock, knock.
As so many other facts do as well.
Yeah. So very many, which we have covered in programs past, still found on our website, actually, on StrophonMinistries.net. So Abraham's circumcision was a symbol of the first covenant that had to be sealed by the shedding of blood. And as a typology of Christ, shedding his blood first by his circumcision, as required by Jewish law, but then also on the cross as a covenant for the whole world.
All right. Let's speak about that writing in the dirt episode.
Oh, yes. And that's also recorded in John chapter 8. And it happened on the eighth day of the feast. And we know it is the eighth day because Scripture tells us it was the next morning after the great day, a title for the seventh day of Tabernacles.
John 7, verse 37.
Mm-hmm. So, the eighth day being a high Sabbath, Jesus went to the temple. Now, he knew that besides the Torah readings, they, as always, would also read a few passages from the prophets as well. And that day, in that year, it would have been out of Jeremiah, which back then was the tradition due to the elaborate ceremony surrounding the fountain of living water, the Mayim Hayim, that Jeremiah refers to in chapter 17:13, which they would have just heard. I think we should read that.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
So again, Jeremiah's scripture would still be fresh in their minds since they had just read it.
So here's the backstory as recorded in John 8.
Yes, it's all about the woman caught in adultery who they brought to Jesus. Now remember, the Pharisees said that she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. We know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss what else he did. So let's read what the Pharisees said to Jesus about the lady adulterer. Again, this is on the eighth and final day of the feast, according to John 8. We'll start in verse 5.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
Okay, so something clicked. They got it. They totally knew what Jesus was doing, and so no one accused her.
So what did he write?
Well, we've heard many explanations, but most overlook the scripture from Jeremiah. And that was not only read in the temple that day, but also likely heard a sermon on it, particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which, as we now know, is the ceremony done the day before on the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah. So I think we should read that again, knowing what we know now, in Jeremiah 17:13.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
So he more than likely wrote their names in the earth, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave. They knew they were not without sin.
So they dare not accuse her.
Mm-hmm. Time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself purposely during these festivals, which were very important for them because, well, God wanted them to be. So how much more important for us to learn and to see Jesus in them and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned and organized these events as a major teaching tool way in advance.
Well, detail by detail.
I know, it's just so truly amazing. Uh-huh. It's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that those that choose, and it's always one's choice, to see him in a deeper and much brighter light. This is, as we often say, why knowing Hebraic roots is such a blessing, because you see the hidden golden nuggets of God, and that truly does increase your faith.
More Jesus, more faith. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the eighth day of Tabernacles is also called Shemini Atzeret, which means the closing assembly of the eighth day, again, an extra Sabbath. So they did go to their assembly. Then, still another name for the eighth day is Simchat Torah.
Means rejoicing in the Torah.
Right, because they would finish reading the whole Torah in 1 year, Deuteronomy 34, and then begin all over again in Genesis 1. Because the Torah, like a circle, is never ending. Like eternity, which is why it occurs on the eighth day of Tabernacles. The written number 8 itself has no ending. It's like two circles. You see, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the 5 books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So, on Simchat Torah, they celebrate the starting over of reading the Torah again, which is why it's on the 8th day of Tabernacles. Again, the number for eternity, meaning never ending. Like his word is never ending. So, again, that's why Jesus' number is 8, also never ending. For he is the Torah, and in fact, he is the entire word. But listen to this. I have a quote here on a totally Jewish website that says this. On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance. So we become the Torah's dancing feet. I just love that, and how fitting, because he really miraculously resides in all believers. And still today, on this day, they really do literally hold on to their big Torah scrolls while singing and dancing in the streets. And I saw that with my own eyes when in Israel during this feast just a few years ago. Now, one of their famous songs sung on the eighth day of this Feast of Joy, which, by the way, is this Saturday, is titled Sisu V'Simku, which means, let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah. And here's a noteworthy true fact. Did you know in the Gematria, you know, which is that numbering system for letters in both Greek and Hebrew, all of the names of Jesus are divisible evenly by 8 with nothing left over, no remainder. This is so amazing, but let me leave you tonight with an example. The Greek name for Jesus is Iesus and means Savior. But the I has a value of 10, H has a value of 8, S is 200, O is 70, U is 400, and S is 200. When you add together, it equals 888. So no remainder. And when looking in Hebrew at names given to Yeshua, the pattern remains. Christ is 1,480 or 185 times 8, evenly. Now, Savior is 1,408, which is 176 times 8, again, evenly. The Lord is 800, which, of course, is 100 times 8. Messiah is 656, which is 82 times 8. And Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times and has a gematria of 2,960, which is 370 times 8, with no remainder. And the word truth, well, that's 64, 8 times 8. Could man have planned all that? I don't think so. The probability of any randomly chosen number being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 8, while the chances of just 4 of his names being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096, and so on. And the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident of 7 names would be 1 in an astonishing 2,097,152. And yet, it does. No remainder. The scriptures has to be divinely inspired. Man's number is 6, but will soon be a 7. The number of completion, of course, and Jesus will always be an 8, which means perfection, because he is perfect. So don't you think it's time to know him a little better? You know, there are many aspects to this festival. And there's really so much more that we can learn. And I've just really kind of given you the highlights. But know this first. You must make Jesus Lord of your life if you want to be a part of the future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And how can you be sure? Well, you're going to have a desire to know him more with a passion to be in his word, his presence, our Bible. Remember again, I can't say it enough. Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. So just do it. And in case you're not aware, these are very serious times indeed. And I want to tell you again what the traditional prayer during Tabernacles is. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. And he will, and he does. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper, and you're going to prosper in every way. A lot of ways that you don't even realize. And that, of course, is Psalm 122, verse 6. Keep the president in your prayers. We want to see him make a full recovery. And God bless you. Tell someone about Jesus this week during this joyous feast. And I'll be back next week, God willing.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.